welcoming back to the show Senate District 65, or House District 65B. 65B is Carlos Mariani. He is the representative from that district, kind enough today to join us to talk about the year ahead as well, coming up in the legislative session. Representative, thank you very much. I always appreciate the time.
Hey, thanks for the invite, Matt.
My pleasure. First of all, let's get to what I'm going to call the sad news. You have decided not to run again for the House, correct?
Right.
Talk a little bit about that decision, because you have been an absolute superstar there for the DFL in the Minnesota House.
Yeah, I really appreciate that. And, you know, I mean, it's one of the most, honorific things I've been asked to do, to represent the good people of St. Paul and, you know, the wonderful people of Minnesota. It was a tough decision, Matt. I mean, 32 years and... Yeah. I'd be lying if I told you I'm 100% feel certain about it. But I learned a long time ago that being 100% about anything means you're waiting too long to make a decision. And I wasn't 100% getting in either back in 1990, and turned out to be the right decision. It just feels like the right time. There's just a lot of good folks, lining up to do this work, well-prepared, and I'm really looking forward to a little bit more time for myself, but then also, hopefully cheering on the sidelines a little bit for some really good people that are coming up.
You've got such a career there. As you said, 1990. I mean,
yeah, man.
if you were to say anything, I mean, what comes across your mind as you look back on a stellar career here in the House? What is something that comes to mind that you're like, that was one of the best moments I had?
Oh, wow. There were several. I got to tell you, there were, overall, it's about the people, the terrific people in the state, people I've served with. Even folks across the aisle, I bang heads with. There's quite a few that I've really enjoyed. I would say one big moment. It's tough because you're pinning me down to one.
Yes, I am.
frankly, it was when we equalized marriage a few years back. It was close on the heels of the prior year with the referendum question that we thought was just the wrong thing to do. Invite people to discriminate against, their fellow Minnesotans. And the people of Minnesota just really lifted my spirit up in that election where they said, no, we don't want to do that. And within months, we came back on the strength of the people's will, to pass, our marriage equalization so that, folks can, make those legal permanent commitments to one another based on love. No matter, what their gender and sexual orientation is. So, hey, listen, when that vote came down, everyone knew what the vote was going to be, because we worked it for months. But we were still all stunned, Matt, and we all just sort of, you could hear a pin drop for like a few seconds as everyone just sort of let that moment sink in. Mm-hmm. And then we all sort of, never done this before or since, we all sort of ran around into one another's arms and hugging each other and happy. And yeah, man, it was a special moment. Good moment for human rights and for human decency in our state.
And you were smart enough, the DFL was smart enough to look at the amendment getting defeated in 2012 to say to themselves, clearly the state's ready for this. And you guys, that made the right choice. I always remember the Republicans after that saying, we'll rescind it. They quickly got away from that because they realized that wasn't a winning issue. You weren't going to get, the population of Minnesota, that people should be able to get married. If you love someone, you should be able to get married to them, for goodness sakes. And I think that was such a key moment because it showed you once again that DFL, the issues, the platform there is the populist platform, and that it shined through on that moment. That's for sure.
Absolutely.
Let's bring up what happened over the last few days here. A little bit of an interesting side note. So some DFLers, some in the Senate, some in the House. Ryan Winkler is pretty much the House member that's the kind of the point person for this issue, has come up with a very specific bill to encourage hiring of police, that basically if you have someone who's a stellar candidate, that basically we should be able to streamline their process and get them into the police ranks fairly quickly. The two things about it that were kind of interesting were, one, it's, you know, I'm not sure that's the biggest problem facing us right now with the police, but that's, you know, that was where they were going. But two, it came about, you know, came to a point that you, who are the chair of the Public Safety and Criminal Justice Reform, Finance, and Policy Committee, were never approached by this group prior to their announcement about this initiative. Talk a little bit about that, because this really is not the best way to go about this.
Yeah, no, it really isn't, and hopefully we can all draw a really good lesson here, you know, because so often we want to talk about good guys and bad guys, and, you know, life just isn't that simple. You know, sometimes it's just people making, you know, decisions that, you know, are ill-informed and, you know, certainly disrespectful, and how you do things is, you know, it's pretty important. But I'll say this really quickly about it. One is that the proposal itself, you know, just the proposal, there are merits to it. You know, we do have a pipeline issue, you know, with this workforce. You know, it's a professional workforce. You know, the ranks are thinner, you know, people wanting to go in. Matt, that's true of a lot of professions, by the way. You know, it's called our changing demographics and aging demographics in our state. And some other issues, you know, I mean, it's a profession that, you know, to the degree that folks are not willing to create a modern accountability system, you know, I imagine a lot of young folks are saying, I don't want to be a part of that, you know, and yet we do need folks, you know, in that profession. And so there's certainly room, you know, for that. But the real big issue is, this is where bypassing the committee and the chairperson, you know, is particularly problematic, is that we have a real smart problem-solving approach to the very real issue around crime, around police accountability, around the need to have public safety systems that use a lot of different tools, not just peace officers, but uses tools of people right in the communities to do interventions on violence, to do prevention of violence, and you know, work with folks that might be susceptible, you know, to be pulled in the wrong direction. All that exists in a terrific bill that Representative Cedric Frazier has introduced. You know, it's got resources for law enforcement, evidence-based good practices in law enforcement, not just throwing money at it. Good resources for community intervention work, and then also accountability measures to make sure that when a system is doing something bad, that it stops doing that, and that people with it, like, you know, Derek Chauvin, whatever, you know, that we find out about them early and we prevent them and stop them. And quite frankly, we don't let them get in there in the first place, you know. So that's the Frazier approach. And by floating this particular bill out, outside of the context of that, really puts the wrong focus on what needs to happen in our society. And yes, there's room and space for this kind of work. That kind of work is going to produce a whole bunch of rookies in a couple of years. And meanwhile, we've got all sorts of things happening right now that people in Minnesota don't want to see happen. And so that's where you need that bigger comprehensive approach. And by putting that out, you know, it just takes the focus off of the much more difficult but real meaningful work in order to focus on a quick fix type of approach. And I'm not saying that people want it, you know, that that's what they were looking for. However, that is the impression, unfortunately, that you leave when you're not coordinating with your colleagues around really smart proposals.
You know, it is interesting as well, because we have a trial that's in deliberation right now, where the police officers who are on trial for George Floyd basically said the Minneapolis Police Department's training is completely and totally inadequate. It's a joke, as well as the culture within that police department is a joke. it would seem to me, if you're looking for step one of how to address with policing, it's obviously clearly the Minneapolis police. And once again, we're just talking about the Minneapolis Police Department. When your own officers are pointing out the problems, that would be the first place. I also agree with you wholeheartedly. The piecemeal kind of setup here is not a good way to do it. And the reason why is that not only will Republicans now try to make that bill more extreme to say, well, this is what you need to do to get it through the Senate, but as well, it identifies DFLers that now that the GOP is going to extremely target, especially in the House, to say, well, if you're really tough on crime, then you need to support our bill. And I think that it gets away from that DFL unified front, because the power that we have is the DFL is that the House is being run by the DFL. And so if you get the plan there, it gives you a much stronger platform when it comes to negotiations with the Senate.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you only have to look at the bills that are being introduced by the Republican majority in the Senate, the hearings that they're holding. Like last year, they held no hearings, you know, on even mild reform issues, like none. And they're repeating that pattern this year. They're not taking seriously what good independent research. We've brought in researchers from across the nation over the last couple of weeks into our committee to talk about this, to share their findings, that if you want to drive safety, if you want a good, effective public safety system, you got to be able to do several things, and preferably several things that are coordinated with one another, like peace officers and departments working hand in glove with community folks to build trusting relationships and conducting yourself in such a way so that people can believe you when you say, hey, listen, you can trust me. I need you to tell me, you know, what's going down here, who did this, who did that, you know, et cetera. None of that is happening, that conversation over in the Senate. And so by focusing only on this type of bill and you know, it does have its merits you know, as part of a bigger thing, though. But by only focusing on that, you know, then we're not really problem solving. And we're not really creating a much more safer public. And we wind up at the end, therefore, negotiating with a Senate that says, hey, listen, you know, this is the only thing we're interested in. And apparently, you know, you have a whole bunch of people that's the only thing they're interested in either. And nothing could be further from the truth. It's like, no, we're interested in what works. And what works are several things all coordinating with one another. That's the conversation we want to have. We don't want you railroading us or, frankly, the people of Minnesota mm-hmm. into pretending that one, you know, approach is going to be the thing that takes care of our concern over crime in Minnesota.
Absolutely. And if I will say this, there is a time and a place sometimes for a one issue. Right now, I have no idea why the DFL Senate is not just hammering on the Republicans up there saying, okay, let's ban racist Klan members and Nazis from being police officers. There's a no-brainer one time. I mean, this is something that's long overdue. And the Republicans last year, how many times did they vote that down? I mean, you can hammer on them on that and make that the main issue. But when you start trying to get into these kind of individual policies, you're absolutely correct. When you look at this upcoming year here, is there anything else? You've already talked a lot about a lot of things that you have up with Representative Frazier's bill and stuff, but is there any other things that you want to try to accomplish with this committee?
In the committee, one of the things that's happening, it's not really getting a lot of play, I'm a little worried about it, is a real opportunity for us to have an efficient, smart, and effective probation and community supervision system. A lot of people don't know that Minnesota has like basically three delivery systems when it comes to, you know, supervised release and probation, supervision. And the whole point of those kind of programs, besides not having an incarceration state in the state of Minnesota and all the terrible things that comes with, you know, overlocking up all sorts of people, is to have good ways in which people can correct their actions, refocus themselves, and become good citizens. If you have an inefficient system trying to do that, you're wasting money, which means you're not spending the resources on where it's most needed. I mean, do you really need several years of, you know, supervision or probation for individuals, you know, who as a young person was involved with some low level, you know, drug use? I don't think so. You know, what you want to do, it seems to me, is make sure you're spending good money, effective money, intensive work with folks that have a history of violence, for instance, of violating other people's, you know, homes, you know, those kind of things, and yet who want to get themselves better and become, you know, contributing citizens, right? Really have a system in our probation supervision system that allows us to effectively focus on that. There are proposals coming forward this year as a result of a big study that was done involving Republicans, Democrats, conservatives, liberals, all sorts of, you know, good Minnesotans, guided by a national group with a set of really powerful recommendations to change how we do that system. And frankly, stop rewarding, you know, counties who have figured out, you know, it's not that they're bad, you know, but they figured out, you know what, we can get a lot of money from the state if we just put a whole lot of people, you know, into our probation supervision system. And whether it's effective or not is kind of irrelevant because we're going to get all this money from the state. You know, so we want to get away from that perverse incentive and really have an effective system. I'm hopeful we can do this, you know, because there actually is, you know, some bipartisan support for it. I got to tell you, though, you know, being chair of this committee, it's going to take DFLers leading that, just like we've been doing for the last, you know, several years on criminal justice reform.
This is usually the point of the interview where I drive people to your campaign website, but today I'm not going to. You're going to be missed. I don't say this to pretty much anyone out there, but even when you're done in the House, you ever want to come back on this show, Representative, you're more than welcome on my show. I'll always have time for you. Your insight and your wisdom on all these issues is so greatly appreciated at the state capitol and will be greatly appreciated for a long time to come as well. Representative, thank you very much for all you're doing this year, as well as also for your entire term of service. Thank you for all you've given to the state of Minnesota.
Greatly appreciated. Thank you for the work you do as well, Matt.
Thank you. Representative Carlos Mariani is our House District 65B. House District 65B. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.